If you watch Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, you know what an uncanny ability he has to do other people's voices, like Neil Young and Bob Dylan. Lots of people who can't stay up late enough to watch the show see his impressions because they go viral on the internet. Jimmy Fallon became known for his impressions when he was a cast member on Saturday Night Live, but he became even better known on SNL for co-anchoring Weekend Update with Tina Fey. Fallon took over Late Night from Conan O'Brien when O'Brien left to prepare to host The Tonight Show in 2009. Every Friday on Late Night, Fallon does a feature called Thank You Notes, in which he writes and reads messages addressed to the things that have made him grateful during the week. I spoke with him last May after he published his book, collecting those thank you notes. One of the things I love about your show is it gives you an opportunity to do your music impressions. You're amazing when it comes to doing music impressions of people like Neil Young and Bob Dylan. So let's just hear an example of it first. So this is you doing the Willow Smith song, Willow Whip Smith, My Hair. Yeah. And she's the daughter of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, she's a very good hip-hop song. Goes, I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. Yeah. It's a big hit song. So this is me doing Neil Young doing Whip My Hair with Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, so here it is. So that's Jimmy Fallon doing Neil Young. We didn't have time here for the Springsteen part. Maybe we'll get to that a little later. But so what's so interesting about how you do this is you're not only doing Neil Young's voice, you're rewriting the song the way Neil Young would sing it because he's such an idiosyncratic singer in terms of the way he re-melodicizes things. So can you talk about like doing Neil Young?
I always kind of had a Neil Young impression, like everyone does, you know. But
I
a great
don't.
Writer. Yeah. Oh, come on! You must have sang along with a few songs. I've heard you do Harvest Moon. I've always just had it as an impressionist. I think every impressionist has a Neil Young. Let's just say that. But you never know what to do with it. You know, once you have it, it's like having a Jack Nicholson impression. Everyone's got one. What do you do with it? So there's a great writer. This is just a tip of the hat to my writing staff. A writer said, why don't you do a version of Neil Young? We'll do a nice version of Willow Smith's Whip My Hair. And I go, oh, that's funny. That'd be cool. I go, also, Bruce Springsteen's coming on. Would you think he would do a duet with me if we wrote a fake duet with me as fake Neil Young and him really as him? He goes, well, let's get to it. So we sat down. We had a guitar. He had a guitar, and we just sat around my office. And I'm trying to think of like how Neil would do it. And it's a lot of G chord into D chords, and maybe throw in like an A minor in there. And it's like whip my hair back and forth, just whip it. You know, and they get the harmonica going, the harmonica thing around the neck. And then I go, and Bruce has got to come in. He's got to go like, you gotta whip your whip my hair back and forth. You gotta whip your hair. You know, he's gotta jump in with that energy. And now I go, and so we recorded it on our phone, you know, with just a scratch recording of me and him, and we're laughing, and we record the thing, and we send it over to Bruce Springsteen's manager. And Bruce Springsteen, his manager gets it, and he goes, Bruce loves it. He thinks it's hilarious. He his kids know Whip My Hair. And so and he's seen you do Neil Young on the show, and he's game. He goes, here's our idea. Do you want Bruce to dress like young Bruce from the 70s? So my jaws, I'm like, of course, yeah. I didn't even think that he would even put on a – I mean, when are you going to get Bruce Springsteen in a wig? I'm telling you right now, it'll never
happen. And a fake mustache and beard.
Yeah, and a fake beard. And, I mean, this is from the Born to Run era, you know, floppy hat. This is cover of Newsweek and Time Magazine Bruce Springsteen, where you go, whoa, this is the future of rock and roll Bruce Springsteen. So the fact that he's game for this, I go, okay, we'll get a beard, and we'll get a, he goes, and we'll get a floppy hat. I go, no problem. He goes, and Bruce said he's going to bring his sunglasses from the Born to Run tour.
That's so great.
Actual mirrored sunglasses. I go, okay, he's game. So he comes over. So he brings his sunglasses out. They tape a beard on him because they want to put glue on his face. So he has tape, a beard taped to him. And he goes, you got the floppy hat. And we put the floppy hat on him. He goes, whoa, this looks exactly like it. This is great. This is great. I go. Well, also, we have a wig. Do you want to try the wig on? He goes, what? No. What are you trying to do to me? No, I don't want to wear a wig. I go, okay, no problem. No big deal. So everyone leaves the room. It's just me and Bruce. We're kind of laughing. And I the door's closed. And I go, hey, it's just us. You want to just try the wig on? He's like, what? I go, just try the wig. I mean, he's got the curls on it. I think it'll be the final touch. He goes, all right, hurry up, put the wig on. So I put a wig on Bruce Springsteen, and I'm putting this wig on him, and he's laughing. And then we put the floppy hat and the beard and the glasses, and he looks at the mirror, and he goes, whoa! And that was it.
And then to top it all off, Springsteen throws in a little Thunder Road thing toward the end. So
yeah.
So why don't we hear the part where Bruce Springsteen comes in and joins you as Neil Young?
Cool.
So that's such a great moment. Were there Neil Young records you just steeped yourself in before doing that? Do you listen to a lot of the performer you're going to do before you do them?
Yeah, I think I have one of those things. When I grew up, I had, you know, I've always done impressions. So I think if I listen to a record long enough, so I'll listen to Harvest, and I'll listen to the whole album, and then I could do Neil Young. You know, I can listen to, you know, Blonde on Blonde, you know, and I'll do Bob Dylan. You know, I could watch an episode of Jerry Seinfeld, and by the end, I'm just walking around my house. You know, I'm talking like Jerry Seinfeld. What is that? What are you doing? Who is there? What's going on? You know, I just had that thing. When I grew up, I just start talking like people. I always had that. I would go visit a friend of mine's house, and I come back. My mom was like, you're talking like Joey Gonzalez. Because I would sound like my best friend. I would just imitate him, you know?
Now, I read that the first imitation you did was James Cagney, and I thought that's crazy, because when I was growing up, and I'm older than you are, all the Impressionists did Cagney, you dirty rat. And
yes.
That was like during the Ed Sullivan era. You didn't grow up
Frank
during
Gorshin, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't grow up during that era. You grew up during the Saturday Night Live era when people were no longer doing James Cagney. So how did you end up doing Cagney impressions?
It's more of a technicality. I did it. I was 2 years old when I did that impression. So I was a baby, and my mom would say, Jimmy, do James Cagney. And I would go, you dirty rat. So I already had an act.
How did you
I already
hear
had an
it?
Act at 2 years old.
How did and then you know I did, about I think I did, Jimmy Cagney then?
I grew up in an Irish Catholic family, and I think they force you to watch every James Cagney movie. I mean, come on, kids,
Yankee,
come on in.
Yankee Doodle Dandy too?
Oh, of course, Song and Dance. That's the advanced years of Cagney. Yeah, but you start off with the gangster movies. I mean, every kid loves a good gangster movie.
Oh, who doesn't?
But I mean, I watch, yeah, Angels with Dirty Faces, White Heat.
Do you ever get into trouble with celebrities who you're imitating? Do they ever, like, not like it and not take it as a compliment?
You think they would. I just saw recently I did a Donald Trump impression, and I saw Donald Trump, and it was, my impression was basically because I was thinking the president got and announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed, he announced it right in the he interrupted the last 15 minutes of The Celebrity Apprentice. And I go, man, this is perfect, right? I mean, that's a double win for Obama. So I said, we got to do Trump. I got to do some press conference where he's like, this is amazing, a beautiful, beautiful evening. The president, you know, it's like, did you really have to interrupt the last 15 minutes of one of the greatest boardrooms in the history of Celebrity Apprentice? Beautiful people there, fantastic job. And I say, like, I mean, why couldn't you have waited till the show that's on after me, which is, let's see what it is. Let's see what's on after me. Oh, yeah, the news. Why couldn't you have interrupted the news with the news? So I did that. So I saw Donald Trump at some event. And I go, hey, Mr. Trump, I do an impression of you tonight on the show. And he goes, oh, you do great impressions. I go, yeah, but I'm doing you tonight on the show. I just want to let you know. And he turns around to his whole table and he goes, Jimmy Fallon's doing an impression of me tonight. I go, will you stop it? I'm trying to tell you something, man to man, so that you don't get caught off guard. I don't want you to be upset. I don't want to announce it to everybody. But I think he knows that, like, when I do an impression of people, I never kick anybody when they're down. I either kick them when they're up and they don't mind, or I don't hit them that hard. My jokes aren't that mean-spirited.
My guest is Jimmy Fallon. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Jimmy Fallon, the host of NBC's Late Night. He got his start on Saturday Night Live, where he eventually anchored Weekend Update with Tina Fey. You were described in an article in Rolling Stone as the least tortured comedian imaginable. Would you agree with that description of yourself?
I think if I ever went to therapy, you'd find something. But yeah, I've had a pretty, you know, I love my parents. I love my childhood. I love my sister. You know, I mean, I get picked on like any kid would get picked on in school, but not that much. I mean, I got in some fights, but not that many fights. I think I had a pretty normal childhood. I mean, my life isn't Angela's Ashes. You know, I mean, that guy, I mean, come on. I mean, they're eating a hard-boiled egg, you know. I had it easier than that. I didn't have it that bad.
So you went to Catholic school when you were young.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have
I wanted to be a priest.
Did you really?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the church. I loved the idea of it. I loved the smell of the incense. I loved the feeling you get when you left church. I loved like how this priest can make people feel this good. I just thought it was. I loved the whole idea of it. My grandfather was very religious, so I used to go to mass with him at like 6:45 in the morning, serve mass, and then you made money too if you did weddings and funerals. They give you get like $5, and so I go, okay, I can make money too. I go, this could be a good deal for me. I thought I had the calling.
Do you think part of that calling was really show business? Because like the priest is the performer at church.
Yeah, I recently thought about this. Again, I've never been to therapy, but I guess that would be it's being on stage. It's my first experience on stage. It was as an altar boy. You're on stage next to the priest. I'm a co-star. I'm on.
Starring Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I have no lines, but I ring bells. I ring bells, and I swing the incense around. But it was my, and you are performing. You enter through a curtain. You exit through the. I mean, you're backstage. I mean, have you ever seen backstage behind an altar? It's kind of fascinating.
Right.
So I think it was my first taste of show business. I think or acting or something.
And there are comparisons, I think, between a theater and a church. They're just kind of places that are separated from outside reality.
Yeah, and I remember I had a hard time keeping a straight face at church as well.
Did you?
Did you do
imitations of the priest?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I used to do Father McFadden all the time. He's the fastest talking priest ever. He'd be like, and then you leave and you go, what was that? That guy's the best. I mean, that was church? Sign me up. I'll do church. I'll do it 10 times a day if that's church. So he was great.
Do you still go to church?
I don't go. I tried to go back. When I was out in L.A. and I was like kind of struggling for a bit, I went to church for a while. But it's gotten gigantic now for me. It's like two. There's a band there now. And you have to hold hands with people through the whole mass now. And I don't like doing that. You know, I mean, it used to be. Shaking hands peace was the only time you touched each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm lifting people like Simba. I'm holding them. Hanya, hanya. I'm doing too much. I don't want this frisbees being thrown, there's beach balls going around, people waving lighters. And I go, this is too much for me. I want the old way. I want to hang out with the nuns. You know, that was my favorite type of mass, in the grotto. And just like straight up, that just mass.
Well, Jimmy Fallon, I think you're really incredible. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, you're the best. This was so much fun. I feel like I actually have inhaled fresh air.
Great. Jimmy Fallon recorded last May after the publication of his book collecting the thank you notes he reads Friday nights on NBC's Late Night. Our series featuring some of our most entertaining interviews of the year continues tomorrow.